Real people, real needs. Is the theme chosen for World Refugee Day being celebrated this week? But how often is this fact forgotten amidst the anti-immigrant rhetoric increasingly heard in a number of Western nations, including here in Italy? A new report issued by the UNHCR shows that the number of people forcibly uprooted by conflict and persecution worldwide stood at 42 million at the end of 2008. The total includes 16 million refugees and asylum seekers and 26 million internally displaced people uprooted within their own countries. According to the UNHCR report, 80% of the world's refugees are in developing nations, underscoring the disproportionate burden carried by those least able to afford it. But in the wealthy West, fear and mistrust of undocumented migrants and immigrants appears to be rising, and many say this phenomenon is being exacerbated by the global economic crisis. In a statement marking World Refugee Day, the Jesuit Refugee Services, or JRS, said it is extremely worrying that the world's richest states continue to shirk their responsibilities with regard to refugees. JRS said instead of welcoming people forced by extreme poverty and violence to flee their homes, these nations are slamming the door shut. The JRS strongly criticised the recent agreement between Italy and Libya, under which migrants intercepted at sea en route to Italy are forcibly returned to Libya without any attempt to determine whether or not they are in need of protection. Jane Stapleton is the International Communications Coordinator at JRS, and he told me why the theme for this year's World Refugee Day is particularly apt. The theme for this year's World Refugee Day is real people, real needs. How apt is this choice? Do you think there is now a tendency for people not to consider the refugee or migrant as a real person and just as somebody to be feared, as a part of an army of people who are trying to get in?
I think, unfortunately, that's the case. We often hear about the large numbers that are waiting in countries to come to European countries and to North America. We hear about how many people die trying to come over. 13,000 people have died in the last 15 years trying to cross the Mediterranean. And what we'd like to do is to use the 20th of June as an opportunity to say to people, well, hold on one moment. Yes, there are large numbers of people in need of international protection, but 80% of them are living in developing countries. And we're concerned that developed countries are taking steps to prevent people from arriving to protection when protection is not available in the countries that they're fleeing from. The most obvious example, we're here in Italy at the moment, the most obvious example in recent weeks has been the Italian government's decision to send people back to Libya, a country which hasn't signed the Geneva Convention, and that is known to hold people in indefinite detention where they experience serious human rights abuses.
In fact, the Italian government has said that this new policy of returning the migrants to Libya, intercepting them at sea and forcibly sending them, should be adopted as the new model for dealing with illegal immigration and be extended to the rest of Europe. I mean, are you frightened that countries might do that, other countries?
We are concerned, and Italy isn't the first country that's adopting what we would describe as practices which are not in line with their international commitments to protect human rights. The Italian government has often stated that refugees and asylum seekers will be protected, but migrants need to be returned. Now, it's true that governments like the Italian and other European governments have a right to protect their borders, to manage migration in and out of their countries. But we in the Refugee Service and many other refugee organisations throughout the world cannot understand how people can be protected if the government will send them back to countries like Libya without even asking the question, why are you trying to get into Italy? Many of them move for reasons related to economic pressure in their countries of origin, and we don't expect European countries to take all of the people who arrive in, but what we do expect them to take is to accept people who are fleeing persecution and serious human rights abuses.
As we heard there from James, the JRS is particularly concerned about the recent deal reached between the governments of Italy and Libya concerning the return to Tripoli of migrants intercepted at sea. But how do Italians themselves feel about the issue of migrants? And what is the likely impact in the long term of this new immigration policy adopted by the Rome government? To find out more from the Italian angle, I also spoke to Chiara Peri, project manager for JRS in Italy.
We are very worried. We have expressed several times our worry about this policy, which do not take into consideration the obligation of respecting human rights, and in particular, the obligation that any state, including Italy, has to verify if the person who is sent back is safe in the place where is sent back, and if he or she is in need of international protection. Because in this case, it is absolutely explicit in the Convention of Geneva that it is not possible, return is not possible, because one basic principle of the Convention itself is the principle of non-refoulement, which is exactly non-return. If someone is in need of protection, he has to be given the possibility of applying for asylum in the place where he or she is. This is absolutely not the case when a boat is intercepted in the sea, as it happened last May, and all the people are sent to a third country, in this case Libya, without even trying to identify if they are in need of protection. In this particular case, we are absolutely sure that the people who have been sent back were asylum seekers, because we know that they came from Somalia, they came from Horn of Africa. So in fact, they were absolutely in the typology of people who has to be to receive protection.
Human rights groups claim that Libya has a record of treating badly migrants who are returned to its shores. Is this borne out by what you hear from the refugees themselves that you come into contact with? What do they say about conditions in Libya?
Conditions in Libya are well known because of direct witness of many, many migrants here in Italy, but also in Malta and also wherever they arrive. They talk about horrible condition in detention. These witnesses was enforced by visits of International Commission to Libya. The condition of detention are absolutely unbearable from any respect.
Can you give me some examples?
Well, for example, 80%, more or less 80% of women who arrived from Libya have been raped, for example. People are detained without any jurisdiction, any process, any validation from juridical point of view. And there are many, many cases of corruption and of people beaten by police force who are also connected to the smugglers. We have plenty of witnesses like this.
Of these people then that are returned to Libya, do they eventually get expelled to a third country, or do they stay there in detention in Libya?
It is very, very probable that they are sent back, because we have also some news about that, and also because detention centers in Libya, of course, are overcrowded, but cannot just put people in and not out. We don't know exactly, unfortunately, because no one is entitled to have precise information about that. But what we know is that Libya has no obligations, in the sense that Libya has not signed the Geneva Convention for Refugees, and Libya has policy of not respecting human rights. And the recent declaration of Colonel Gheddafi not respecting human rights, and the recent declaration of Colonel Gheddafi in Italy are a clear proof of that. He says that there are no asylum seekers in Africa, that all African people are just people living in the forest, and when they feel the smell of the money, they come back, otherwise they don't come. And he even said, do you want me to send you more? So it's clear that he is using these people for his economic interests in particular.
What do the refugees, the migrants that you come into contact with here in Italy, what do they say about this new policy and these generally strong anti-immigrant rhetoric?
Well, one thing to say is that if the hope of the government is to prevent people to come, this is absolutely impossible, because people know that it is more difficult, but nevertheless, they are forced to leave, so they come. And the only thing that you obtain is to make things even more difficult and more dangerous for the most vulnerable people that cross the Mediterranean Sea. What is also clear that the general climate in Europe is also very worrying. And so migrants feel this strong xenophobia rising, which is encouraged by this kind of policy of the government, because if the government is not respecting persons as human beings, so any citizen somehow is encouraged in his xenophobic attitude. So this policy of the government of stressing on public security and treating all migrants in a block like they were as criminals, a direct threat, is clearly unfounded. It's based on facts that does not exist. And so the government is stressing this very much to show that they are doing something precise and something that people somehow now expect from them.
What do the migrants themselves report about how they're treated by Italians here?
Well, this, of course, depends very much on their own experience, because it's clear that in general we meet mostly asylum seekers and refugees, and sometimes they were expecting a lot from Italy, from Europe in general, because they consider that a symbol of democracy or what they don't have in their own countries. And unfortunately, sometimes they are very disappointed in these expectations, because sometimes they are treated very unjustly and in a way that they don't understand.
But there is this perception among the public that they're all just economic migrants seeking a better life. That's not really the case, is it?
Yes, this is not the case, and this is the result of the fact that in Italy there is a big ignorance about asylum as a theme in general. So mostly they don't know. They don't have a specific prejudice against asylum seekers. They just put it all together with migrants in general. So one important thing, for example, that we as GRS Italy we are trying to do since 2000 more or less, are exactly projects in high schools, just to bring students to meet directly refugees and to listen to their experience and to know that there is a category which is forced migrants that is not exactly the same that economic migrants, and that some people just can choose. They just here because they had to flee, full stop. I think it's very important to create a sensibility on this theme, but of course the general climate in this moment doesn't encourage at all, because when you have a prime minister saying that it's one out of 1,000 who is in need of protection, absolutely contradicting the data from the Ministry of the Interior, by the way. So there is not much you can do against this.
Do you believe that, in fact, in the wake of this deal between Italy and Libya, for instance, on this forcible return of migrants intercepted at sea, that what these people will do is simply avoid going via Libya and choose another route to come?
Yes, of course they will. And for the moment, as far as we know, they are moving the place on along the coast of Libya in a farthest place because they know that some harbors are more controlled than others, and then probably in the future another route will be used. The point is that the new routes are longer, more dangerous, and far more expensive. So somehow what you are doing is making smugglers richer.
But, I mean, come what may, these people are going to carry on coming, no matter what obstacles are placed in their path.
Of course. I mean, if you are from Somalia, you cannot avoid going away. And we all know what is happening, and not from yesterday, in Somalia or in Ethiopia or in Eritrea. So it's useless to think that just because it's more difficult, these people are going to stay home. Nobody will. Viva l'Italia, l'Italia che non ha paura.
But let's go back to James now and hear more about his point of view on Italy's current situation and take a look at other issues affecting the debate over immigration in the wider international community. Now, Pope Benedict and the Catholic Church in general have expressed concern at the rising anti-immigration immigrant rhetoric that we've been hearing of late in Italy. Why do you think Italians, or perhaps should I say here the government, are so frightened or feel so threatened by these migrants?
I think the presence of a number of the political parties in government, particularly the Northern League, is not helping the situation, as they use violent rhetoric to portray what is the normal movement of people, which has always taken place throughout the world, with violent crimes. We in the Jesuit Refugee Service are very clear. Where people commit crimes, they should be punished. But the whole categories of people shouldn't be criminalised. We understand that in Italy at the moment, and as in Europe, there's an economic crisis, but we would ask people to think about the reasons why people are coming to their countries and think about the benefits that they bring when they arrive. Most European countries couldn't survive without the migrants that have come in and are doing the jobs that Europeans either do not want to do or are unable to do. So we should think about the whole situation. First, we should think about the relatively small numbers of migrants, and particularly refugees who are moving into Europe in comparison with the rest of the world. At a conservative estimate, there are 40 million forcibly displaced people throughout the world. A very small number of them get to Europe. But it's extremely important that countries in Europe and the United States welcome people in. Because if Europe and the United States begin to close their doors, this is a message that they're sending to the rest of the world, who accept much, much larger numbers. The result of this will be greater political instability and greater suffering. And it will do absolutely nothing to address the causes why people are moving, which is the second thing that governments really need to do. We really need to start to address the causes of economic marginalization and human rights abuses throughout the rest of the world if we really want to stop people from moving.
Do you think perhaps, you know, this economic crisis, this global economic crisis, is certainly not helping people welcome immigrants and is indeed feeding that fear?
I think what's feeding the fear is the insecurity that people face in their own economic lives. Government propaganda, which is unhelpful and simplistic, combined with certain elements of the media who feel that it's easier to report on the 5% of people who arrive into countries like Italy via boat from Libya, rather than the 95% of people who come in with visas.
Perhaps it's also not very well known that, in fact, though we talk so much about the flow of legal immigrants into Western countries, that, in fact, 80% of the displaced people, the migrants, the refugees, the asylum seekers, are actually located in other developing countries, aren't they?
Yes. I mean, the vast majority of forcibly displaced peoples in the world are in the countries, either in their own countries, for example, in Colombia or in Sudan, where between the two of them, are there anything up to 9 million people who are displaced within these countries? And then, obviously, in the neighbouring countries, take Latin America, once again, as an example, where there are 1 million Colombians who live in the border states. But I'd just like to focus for one second on the Ecuadorian situation. Recently, the Ecuadorian government has said, instead of adopting a negative policy towards the large number of peoples who are in their country, they've actually started a process of the regularization of people who are in need of international protection in their country. They're talking about regularizing 135,000 Colombians living in Ecuador. This is the sort of approach that we would like to see European countries take. Integrating people into their societies, giving them the training so they can contribute, and it doesn't cost us what we feel it will cost us, either economically or socially.
I was speaking to James Stapleton and earlier to Chiara Perry of Jesuit Refugee Services.
Viva l'Italia! L'Italia che non muore! Viva l'Italia! Presa a tradimento!